Have your Bibles handy. Can you stand to your feet as we look at Philippians? Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Short verse 10 and 11. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death.
Yes.
Verse 11. In order that I might attain the resurrection from the dead.
Yes.
You may be seated. The ST this morning, we're going to talk about one word alone. Intimacy. Mm. Intimacy. Mm. The three R's to intimacy. The three R's to intimacy. God saved you that he might be intimate with you. God wants an intimate relationship with you. And we're going to look at the three R's that God is doing to help you promote that intimacy. What is intimacy? Intimacy is private, personal, close relationship. If you know somebody, a spouse, a loved one, a family member, God designed that in the physical so that it can be a picture of the spiritual. Let me ask you a question. What's going on between you and God? Every day God says, I want to be close to you, and I'm looking at your heart, but you want to be close to me. God wants to be intimate with you, but it's up to you to make it happen. God will not override your will. When you want to get close to him, he wants to be close to you. But let me help you out. He already wanted to be close to you when he made you. Because he made you for who?
Himself.
Remember last week's sermon? You were made by God and what?
For
God. You were not made for yourself. You were made for God and for who he is. So now let me begin this morning. In the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, the Bible say Adam knew Eve. And in the Old Testament, that word know is the word, Hebrew word yada. Y'all know Judge Judy uses it a lot. You know, she say yada, yada, yada. Well, that means to know, to be acquainted with. And God say, I put that in place because I want you to know who I am. The same way Adam got to know Eve intimately, he said, I want you to know me intimately. In the Philippians, the third chapter, in verse 10, you see that word, gnosis. It means to be acquainted with. In some translation, and it says, ada. And God said, I want you to experience me. But you cannot experience me until you what?
No.
Do you want me?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of us indicate what we want, right? And we show our desires by our action and what we really want every day. But God said, when you leave me out, you don't want the best. So let's begin this message this morning. ST number one, bullet point. ST number one. Three things that God is doing every day in your life to help you find intimacy with him. You want to write them down? First of all, he wants you to remember. God always wants you to remember. Second, he wants you to recognize. That means to understand, to grasp, to show that you know. And third, once you let it settle into your brain, rejoice. Why? You know you have the victory. Rejoice means to praise and give thanks. So let's begin with that first R. That first R, God said, I want you to remember. God said, I want you to remember. I want you to remember what I did for you when I saved you. I want you to remember when I saved you out of sin and brought you into salvation. Revelation says to that church of Laodicea, remember that your first love? When you first met that person that you fell in love with, you were treating them different than the way you're treating them now. Come on, you know you guys. When you first met her, you were taking her out, you were giving her flowers, you were spending a lot of time with her. Now, you ain't got time for her even to say hello. God said, go back to that first love, that first thing that I put in place. And we've been talking about five things that you need to know and remember. Be mindful of these five things. Let me give a quick review. Edify members already know what they are. First of all, God is sovereign. Do you know God is sovereign?
Amen.
Psalm 103 verse 19 says, God has established his throne in the heavens and he's sovereignty over all. What is it God not in control of? What has God done have the last word on? God is sovereign. So you got to always remember in every situation, God is sovereign. What is the second thing you need to know and remember? You need to write them down. God is good. I don't care how bad life gets to you. Even if you're John the Baptist and you're in prison and you're about to be beheaded, God's still good. God is good. Psalm 107 verse 1. Give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Because it says he's good. And his mercy endureth forever. Do you believe God is good?
Amen.
I say, do you believe God is good?
Yes.
What is the third thing you need to know and remember? God loves you. Satan gonna put situations to make you think, if God loves you, why would he allow that to happen? That's that lie he's trying to put in your mind. Romans 5 and 8 says, God demonstrated his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah.
You were fighting from the very core of your being, and God still reached down and saved you. What kind of love is that? What's the fourth thing that God wants us to know and remember? God desires an intimate relationship with you. You know God wants a relationship with you? Matthew 11 and 28 says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You won't find that rest if you leave Christ Jesus out. Do you desire him? Do you want to know him? What's the fifth thing you need to know and remember? God believes in you and he's pursuing you. Every day of your life, God come down in the cool of the day of your life and he's looking, where are you with me? Where are you with me? Have you recognized that? See, when you remember God is pursuing you and he believes in you, that's going to help you. Psalms 56 and 9 and Psalms 8 and 31 says, God is for me.
Amen.
I'm helping you this morning. Mm-hmm. And make sure you check into the Bible study on Tuesday night, because we're going to talk about what God is always doing. And there's three things he's always doing. And it's so simple we missed it. I ain't going to tell you right now, because I know a lot of us won't tune in, won't come online and hear the message on Tuesday, because we already got it on Sunday. But now, the people that logged into last week's Bible study, they already have these three R's. Why? Because I'm going to start putting nuggets in place for people to want to come and listen on Tuesday to the sermon on Sunday. All right? So what is the next R? The next R, not only does God want you to remember, but God wants you to recognize. God wants you to recognize. Are you showing God you recognize who he is? Are you showing God that you recognize it now, who he is and what he has done for you? 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new.
Amen.
Do you know the way you do things ought to be the way heaven would do it?
Amen.
Not the way hell would do it?
Mm.
A lot of times we still operate out of what?
Mm.
The way the world, the way hell would do it. And God said, it starts with now my son's characteristics. If Christ Jesus wouldn't do it that way, then guess what? Don't you hang out in that area. See, the flesh is so strong, it don't want to do what God wants. That's the problem of sin. Nobody in here has ever had a lying lesson, right? But I guarantee you, you can tell some whoppers. Your pastor can tell some whoppers. Matter of fact, I done told a few. And they recent. Pastor, you know you can come over here. No, I ain't got time. See, there are things God is always testing to see. Have you recognized? Have you recognized? See, God wants you to recognize and remember who he is in your life. That's why he allows adversity. That's why he allows situations. That's why he allows things to happen. To see what's going on between you and him. Behind me, you see a picture of the cross. The horizontal is affecting the vertical. The horizontal is what's going on between people to see if the thing that's going up and down is right. If you got a wrong relationship with people, you're going to have a wrong relationship with him. And God never going to spend his power and his ways to come down on earth when you still stuck on me, myself, and I. I'm going to do it the way I think. I'm going to do it the way I feel. Then you just became God over that situation. And God says, heaven don't show up on the planet. Are we teaching this morning?
Amen.
See, you got to remember and use your memory. A man once said, I can't remember how to throw a boomerang. But eventually, it came back to him. Things in life will soon come back to your memory if you ask God to help you. See, without God's help, you're going to fail. Without him interceding and even in your mind, you're going to lose. So you first have to recognize Luke chapter 19, verse 43. He says, and they will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone left upon another. Because, this is what Jesus was telling the Jews and the nations, you did not recognize the time of your visitation. Because the Jews rejected the Savior, they did not recognize him. And even that was a part of God's plan, because he's reaching who? Us as Gentiles. Look what it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. It says, by this you know that the Spirit of God, and every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is from God. Have you recognized that? As you as a Christian ought to begin to recognize the world's way of doing things and Christ Jesus' way of doing things. And that discernment has already been given to you by the Holy Spirit, but you got to be aware of it. What did Jesus say? What is he saying to you now? He said it's about an intimate relationship. Do you have an intimate relationship with God? I say, do you have an intimate relationship with God? How intimate is your relationship with the true and living God? How well do you really know him? How close are you to Christ Jesus and his ways being lived out through your life right now? You tell God what you know. So you can fool people, but God tests you every second of your life to see, do you really know me? Do you know my ways? Do you know my values? Do you know what I like? Do you know what I don't like? Are y'all listening this morning? Look what it says right there in verse 13, the 1 John chapter 4. He says, by this we know. I'm telling you, you want to blow your mind. And 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, circle that word know. That word gnosis. All through that text, God says, I want you to know. I want you to know. I want you to know. And so if we've been born again, what does God want us to do? He wants us to know. Know who he is and what he's now doing through us. By this we know that we abide where? In him. And where is he? In us. Because he has given us what? Did you know the Holy Spirit has given you all that you need? So you ain't got no excuses but not let Jesus be seen wherever you are. Now let me just say this. If you saved and you're on your way to heaven, how many people hear about Jesus because you're on your way? When you go to the store, when you're with them hard-headed children of yours, if you're in the church, wherever you're at, are you showing the character of Christ? Let me help you out. Wherever you are, when the Holy Spirit touched your mind to tell somebody about Jesus, that's not from the earth. That's from heaven. That's from heaven. God wants you to realize that you are now should be what? Fulfilling the Great Commission. The Great Commission means to what?
Go.
When he say go, what does go mean?
Go.
Go means to go tell the world, people around you, about what Christ has done for you.
Yeah.
And I love Deacon Brown and his teaching, because he keeps wearing the law out to help people see you fall short. And what is the first one? To have no other God before me. Anytime you lie, you steal, you covet, don't treat your parents right, you done went to the first one by not placing God first. Because he's trying to show you, you fall short. And why does the law put in place? To help you fall to your knees and say, Lord, help me. I got a bad way of thinking. I got a fallen nature. And God says, I already knew that, but have you recognized that?
Yes.
See that word recognize? See, a lot of times we don't recognize what we're doing. When's the last time you cussed somebody out? Now, you think Jesus was in the middle of them profane words? Come on. They pull in front of you on the freeway. Pastor's issues.
Oh, Pastor, no.
And you want to say some explicit words. Why that blank and that blank? You showing you. You ain't showing them. God allowed it to happen for you to see you. And we blame everybody else. Is my wife fault? Is the deacon fault? Is my classmates fault? But God said, no, no, no. I allowed that to happen for you to see you. And we go so fast and blame who? We blame who? Everybody but the wrong person. Me, myself, and I. Turn, if you will, to St. John. Now, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. St. John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Amen. See, you got to recognize.
1 John.
What did I say? 1 John chapter 2, 3 and 4. Verse 3 says, by this we know. Remember that word, gnosis? What do you really know? You're showing God by your response what you know. See, you can fool yourself. Well, I didn't really do nothing that bad. No, if it came through your head and it came out through your hands or your feet, that's you. Well, I didn't really do nothing. That's you. Recognize that. By this we know what? That we have come to know him. If Jesus Christ is not in the action of how your response is, hit the buzzer. It's the wrong response. He says what? If we keep his commandments, are you showing that same unconditional love to this person the same way he showed you? He died on the cross for you, right? He gave you his new spirit, right? And forgave you for sin, past, present, and future. And now this person doing something right now. And you know what you're going to do? You ain't going to forgive them. But Pastor, you don't know what they did. Yeah, God knows what they did. He's asking to see what's coming from you. Why? Are you showing that same unconditional love that he showed you? Look what it says in verse 4. And the one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, what you say they are, deacon? They are liars, and the truth is not in them. How many times you done told a lie? Then you telling God, the truth ain't in me. All lies come from the father of lies. And you're representing Satan instead of the kingdom. Verse 5. But whosoever keeps his word, and in him the love of God is truly been what? God is perfecting you every day. I allow your spouse. I allow your family members. I allow whoever I see handed that day to show you what's going between me and you. Are we teaching? Amen. Behind me is a cross. The horizontal affects the vertical. God will let people get on your last nerve so you can see you. Amen. That invites intimacy. Fall on your knees immediately and say, Lord, help me. I'm about to do the most horrendous thing and not let you be seen through me. Why? He's perfecting you. By this, we know that we are in him. How do you know you're in him? Because you're letting Jesus be seen through you. You're being patient. You're being kind. That's why Deacon read in Ephesians, be kind to one another.
That's right.
If you're a Christian and you're not showing kindness, you're already showing the enemy. You're showing things from the enemy's camp.
That's
right. See, you can be saved, but not let kindness be seen. Verse 6, and the one who says, I abide in him, ought to himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. If Jesus forgave you, what is he expecting you to do? I'm telling you, as a pastor, I've learned people are going to do stuff to you. And I'm going to open your eyes. You're going to do stuff to them. But are you going to show kindness? Or are you going to act like you done forgot who you are? An elderly husband and wife visited the doctor when they began forgetting little things. So the doctor tells them that they need to find a useful way to remember things, so he says, write them down. Write your little note to help you remember so you won't forget. So when they got home, the wife said to the husband, you know, could you go in the kitchen and get me a bowl of ice cream? And saying, she said, and don't forget what the doctor says. Write your notes or you won't forget it. And so the husband said, nonsense. I won't forget. And she said, well, when you go and get me that dish of ice cream, can you do me a favor? Can you put strawberries and whipped cream on top of it? And make sure you write your notes so you won't forget it. So the husband says, no, there ain't no problem. There ain't no need for me to write no note. I won't forget to get you some ice cream and some strawberries with whipped cream on top. So no need for me to write it down. So as soon as he got into the kitchen, you could hear the pots rattling and dishes and the stuff going on. All this kind of noise is going on. So the husband finally emerged from the kitchen and presented his wife a plate of bacon and eggs. And what's ironic about it, the wife looked down and said, you done forgot the toast. When we forget who we are and who has redeemed us, we're subject to do all kind of ridiculous things. We have been bought with a price.
Yeah.
And you show God who is your Lord. Mm. You show God who you are now walking with. Mm. Let's get to the 1 Peter, Jordan, chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. When you know who you are, you can now be identified with who say, what he says you are.
Yeah.
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. When you know God say this is who you are, let it sink in. If God say you've been saved, what does that mean? If God say you are now his chosen race, what does that mean? Look what it says in verse 9. But you are. God's trying to tell you, identify with who I call you, not who you feel and think you are. You are a chosen race. A bunch of people that never existed before because God now dwells in you. You are a royal priesthood.
Yeah.
You're hierarchy. Mm. You are heaven sent to show God's priesthood. Mm. You are a holy nation.
Yeah.
Now it's up to you. Do you believe it? Mm. You are people for God's own possession.
Yeah.
What does that mean? You're not to show your ways on the planet. You are to show who?
God's ways.
His ways.
Yeah.
Not in something, but in everything.
Yeah.
Notice what he says, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness, where? Into his marvelous light. Verse 10. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God, and have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Has that sunk in yet? Have you recognized that?
Amen.
Has it come to your thinking that you now belong to the Lord?
Amen. Yeah.
An elderly couple had been experiencing declining memory. So they took a power memory recognition class where they were being taught the things be associated with by remembering. Remembering certain things and helping them to remember to associate with it. So a few days later after the class, one old man was outside talking to his neighbor about how much the class helped him. And so the man says, well, what was the name of the instructor that taught that class? And the man says, let me see. The old man pondered. He says, well, I know it starts with, it's the name of a flower. And I know that it's one of those flowers that smells really good. I know one of those flowers that have prickly thorns on it. So what's the name of that flower? And the neighbor says, a rose. And so the man says, yes, that's right, a rose. And so he turned and yelled back to the house, hey, Rose, what's the name of that instructor that took us to that memory class? Have you recognized who Christ is and what he's now doing for you and through you? When God said you are a chosen race, what does that mean? When God said you are a priesthood, what does that mean? If God said you are a holy nation, what does that mean? You have to identify what he says you are, and you show him what you believe by your response. Let's get to the last R. The last R. The last R is to rejoice. When you know that God has saved you, you ought to rejoice in the victory and show praise. That's why you come to church. That's why you worship and praise him, because you know what he has done for you and through you.
That's right.
Have that sunk in yet? Rejoice in what he has done. Rejoice in what he's doing. But most of us rejoice because what he will do.
Amen.
Let's turn to Psalms verse 9. Verse 1 and 2. Psalms verse 9, 1 and 2.
Amen.
The psalmist say, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart.
Yeah.
And I will tell all your wonders. How much are you showing God that he's now your Savior? He's now your Lord. Verse 2. And I will be glad and exalt in you. And I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. Are you thankful? Are you unthankful? Are you appreciative of what God has done for you? Turn to Psalms 32 and 11. Psalms 32 and 11. Verse 11 says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, your righteous one, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. Are you showing God you're rejoicing, knowing that you've been redeemed? Philippians 4 and 4. Philippians 4 and 4, Deacon Brown's passage. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say what?
Rejoice.
Every day you are showing God you know you have the victory by your response.
Amen. Yes.
And if thankfulness don't come out in most situations, you telling God, I can't trust you. I don't believe you, my Lord. I got to handle it my way. He's letting you be in that situation for you to see your dependence on him. Am I helping somebody today?
Amen.
You know you can be unthankful. You do know you can be unthankful, right?
Oh, yeah.
This is my last humor for those that are getting tired of that. An old lady sold pretzels on the street corner for 50 cents each day. And each pretzel was 50 cents. So every day a young lawyer would exit his office building at lunch, and he would pass by her pretzel stand, and he would leave two quarters, and he would never take any pretzels. So this went on for approximately 5 years, even though he never took a pretzel. He'd always leave 50 cents. And they would make eye contact, and she would nod her head in gratitude as he would walk away without a pretzel. So finally, one day, the lawyer passed by her and laid down two quarters, like he always did. And the pretzel lady, woman, spoke up. She said, excuse me, sir. I appreciate your business. You are my best customer. But you need to know something. The price of the pretzels have now gone up to 75 cents. Unthankful can you be? Is that your attitude to God? He done saved you. He's taking you to heaven, and you respond every day being unthankful. And God said, when you're not thankful, you don't understand who I am. Let me go over those 5 points again about five things to know and remember. See, when you let those five things slip out of your mind, Satan's gonna start fitting you with lies and deception. First thing you need to always remember, God is sovereign. Satan is not the one in control. God is.
Amen.
Second, you need to let it always remember, God is good.
Amen.
I don't care how bad life adversity gets, God is good.
Amen.
Third, you need to understand, God loves you. He loves you more than you love yourself. Fourth, God desires an intimate relationship with you. How intimate are you with God? God says, I want to be close to you. I want to even be so closer than you ever would imagine. And I want you to be mindful of that. God believes in you, and you know what he's doing? Every day he's pursuing you. How does God pursue you? He pursues you by the four S's that we teach at this church. He uses the scripture. He uses the Holy Spirit. He uses the spokesman. And he uses, the situations. And that's the number one thing he uses to lost people. The scripture is the number one thing he used with saved folk. All four of those things God is always using every day of your life. And we're so busy living and being not mindful that God is at work both to will and do what? His good pleasure. He didn't save you to do your thing, and that's why a lot of people in church miss. God didn't save you for you to do this Christian journey on your own.
Yeah.
He gave you all the help you need to be done through you. All you need to do is desire Him. When you desire Him, that's opening the door for intimacy.
Yeah.
Are y'all getting this today?
Amen.
God saved you for intimacy. He wants to be close to you and you get close to Him. But He won't override your desires. If you don't want Him, I tell y'all time and time again by my grandkids, if they come up to Gramps and say, "Gramps, I want you. I'm going to reach down and I'm going to want them." And just like when Roman was little, and she'd be in her daddy's arms, and I go, "Roma, give me a hug." She pull her arm back. "I don't want her. You don't want me? I don't want you." When you desire intimate relationship with God, God says, "I'll draw near to you." So let me just close this message out this morning. The three R's of intimacy. To remember, to recognize, and to rejoice. Remember, recognize, and rejoice. Did I put ST number 2 up there this morning? First of all, when you remember those 5 things. Remember what's going on between you and God. Second, recognize. Know and understand. You show God by your understanding, by your response, have you really been redeemed? And third, you rejoice by having praise and thanks. Every day you ought to have church knowing you're on your way to heaven. And you don't have to face the full consequence of your sin.
Amen.
And all of us got it. You come into the world with that fallen nature. But He has redeemed you by the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. So if there's nothing else, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer.